So, chapter 3. We got through the introduction, how important spheres are, how important the kofos and nefesh are, and now we started speaking about how the nefesh works. We started with chokhmah. If you remember, we said chokhmah was that eureka moment. In other words, that you have to be an abstract thinker. If you're not an abstract thinker, like some people, you know, I start telling them this, they just don't know what I'm talking about. It's like, you know, like, come on, you know, I know how to add 2 + 2 = 4. You know, that's fine, and you know, I can do other things. But you know, when you start telling about an abstract concept, you know, they look at you funny. And so, if anybody who's like that is going to have trouble understanding what chokhmah is. No, because the whole word of chokhmah, again, how we started, we said emotions are my subjective feeling. This makes me feel good. This makes me feel bad. It's all about me. I like it, I don't like it. Or variations of that. That's emotion. What it does for me. What is intellect?
Objective.
What do we mean by what we say objective? What it is. That's, you know, in simple English, objective reality means what it is. Now, within that qualification itself, we're going to get 3 different movements there. What do we mean? Again, if I'm talking about how to fix a car, what it is what it is. You know, you got. But if I'm talking about a theory, be it in economics, chemistry, see physics, or from the Habdil Elokus, can you put your hands on that theory? Quite the contrary. If it's really abstract, it's above you. And you're straining. What do you mean I got it? I see what it is. It's the same thing as the objective reality before, but in a much more refined sense. Again, because quite often the objective reality is to look at, you know, tangible things or even concepts as they become tangible. Chokhmah is to look at the idea and, now I see what it is. Before, you know, I don't have any handles on it yet. But without the handles, I see it. I know it. I got it. Now, what's interesting about chokhmah here is it's a bridge. It's the way, since it's copying what it is, the person is really stepping out of himself. That's why, as I said before, when the Alter Rebbe wants to speak about the power of Bittul, he uses the koach of chokhmah. He explains the kotzi shel yud b'chokhmah, but it's so chokhmah because chokhmah means stepping out of yourself. Being united with the idea as it is. Now, it's a common situation. You ever been in a situation where I know it, but I can't really explain it to you. Hopefully it doesn't happen too often. But, no, because what does that mean? You know, in the ideal state, what does it mean? You have the idea as its chokhmah. In other words, the eureka moment of it, you've got it. What do you mean I can't really explain it? Can you really explain it to yourself? Not can't you explain it to somebody else? You can't really explain it to yourself. You know it, but you know it in the abstract sense, not in a tangible sense. That's where the koach habina comes in. Bina, the word bina also is connected to the word binyan, which means building. The whole idea of bina is to flesh an idea out. So chokhmah and bina are called av v'eim. The man gives a drop of sperm. It gestates and the woman takes on the form of the whole body. The whole idea of bina is to make the idea tangible, to break it down. In other words, within that potential of chokhmah, the idea can be developed, but it's got to be developed. And the development is done by a different power, the power of bina. It's not the same thing. Were a person to stay on the level of chokhmah, he would never be able to flesh out an idea, even for himself, how much more so for others. And again, you know, we see this in people. There's some people who are like, they're great at the abstraction, they're bad at this fleshing out dimension. Other people are good at fleshing out an idea, but, you know, think creatively. Hey, I don't know what you're talking about. Give me an idea. Explain it to me. I'll develop it. But I don't know what you're talking about. Like, how can I think of something that you haven't told me? There are people like that. Lots of them. Most of them, as a matter of fact. A chokhmah person is rarer. That doesn't mean he's better. He's just rarer. A bina person, they're common. But the point is to have them both. To have the ability to go outside of yourself and, you know, grasp that point, and then to break it down, build it up. In other words, hey, what's a parallel point? Oh, I see this parallel. Once I see a parallel, I've now fleshed it one level. What's the derivatives of this idea? Oh, I fleshed it another level. Getting it step by step to the point where, oh, I can put my hands on it. That's bina. Developing it, and it's very important, you know, again, the whole point of chokhmah bina here is how they bring it to emotions. From chokhmah itself, are you going to get emotion?
No.
No, you can't get emotion because chokhmah is too abstract. You can be overwhelmed, but you're never going to have the way I feel about something because you don't feel that because you don't know it yet. You're you know, absorbed in the very nature, the very abstract of the idea. So I don't know what I feel about it. I'm, you know, let me first, you know, it hasn't become pneumious enough in order to, you know, you don't know it well enough in order to know how to react to it. That's, see, so in order to get emotion, you need bina. You also need chokhmah because bina itself doesn't have the energy and the drive. The power, it's like, you know, the impregnating of the woman is done by the man. Well, there are people who have that. You know, they borrow somebody else's chokhmah. Or they're people who are good developers. But they don't really, again, because they're just developers, the dynamic energy there is sometimes lacking, and the ability to feel about it, to get the feeling, is also going to be lacking. You need to really have your own chokhmah, at least. Again, some people have more or less, but you have to have, if you don't get some sort of, you know, wow, you know, no matter how much you've developed it, it's going to be just plain cold, you know, and it's never going to be the live kind of thing that leads to vibrant emotion.
Why would that be, considering that we usually can see the das translating the emotions, as opposed to, say, chokhmah directly translating the emotions? Why can't it develop it, connect to it? I just can't come up with it on my own.
So again, you can, that's true, but you have to have a little bit of it. I mean, das is the doctor who delivers the baby, as it were. You know, the dynamic power is chokhmah, not das. We'll take das in a second, but in other words, you need a dynamism here to make Bina work. Otherwise, you're just like, you know, you see, you know, it's stillborn. Okay, what's das then? If chokhmah is, and Bina is sitting back and developing and getting all the particulars, is getting handles, what's das?
Bring it into action.
No, not bring it to action. Bring it to action is that you do through emotions and through illusion. What's that?
Making
it real to yourself. Tell a classic story. Kaik has to do with the guy who sponsored our memorial. The guy calls his accountant in, and the accountant, after working over the books of the whole company, tells in a nice clear way, says, "Excuse me, sir, but we're bankrupt." And he says, "What do you mean?" He starts to explain to him, you know, all the details exactly. "We're bankrupt." The owner faints. Now, who knew, who understood the bankruptcy better?
The accountant.
Who fainted? Why?
It was his
business. The accountant picked up his check. Well, depends how bankrupt they were, whether he picked up his check or not. But, you know, there's an abstract, and it's my thing. If you want it to be, you know, to motivate emotion, you need to have that, it's my thing. That's das. Das is binding to the idea that it's not a foreign abstract principle. You're not an accountant. The Maggid first came to the Baal Shem Tov, and it was, you know, it's hard to describe this in a way that sounds, you know, normal to Americans, but you have to know the nature of Talmudic scholars. The Maggid asked the Baal Shem Tov a question, the Baal Shem Tov answered. So the Baal Shem Tov asked the Maggid a question, the Maggid answered, back and forth a lot. Then the Baal Shem Tov told the Maggid, "All your answers are bluff." And the Maggid, "Oh." It's like this, like this, and like this. It's not real. It's further explained, and it's like, you know. And finally, in desperation, the Marxist, this is the top of the answer. Lashemto started explaining the very same ideas the Magi said. But when the Lashemto said it, the Magi felt a personal connection to the Sfiros Elyonos which the Lashemto was talking about. Before, it was just, you know, it's in the books, this, this, and this, and this. When the Bashemta taught him, it was real. It's the same type of story. Just a guy came to the Bedichim and told him, why do you take so long to daven? So the Bedichim, what kind of question is that? No, you're probably because of Kabbalah, because you dabbled with Kabbalah Sariza. So, it's more of a yes than a no, but it's still a dumb question and dumb answer. But he says, but look, I also dabbled with Kabbalah Sariza. It doesn't take me so long. Now the Bidichma, you know, at least he's got a place to answer to. Tell me, you go to business in Leipzig, right? Leipzig was the big fair, and it was part of Germany or Poland, depending on the way the maps got drawn. It was the big fair city, and everybody from Ukraine, even Russia, they would all go to Leipzig for the fair. So you go to Leipzig for the fair, yes. Tell me. How long does it take you to go to Leipzig? About a 6-week journey. Back and forth, it's just 6 weeks, maybe even more. Tell me, haven't you seen on a map? I mean, I can go from, look here. Here we are now in Bedichim, here's Leipzig. Back and forth. Rebbe. I have to get the schora. I have to get the merchandise. Now you understand about davening. It's not just to have the kavanas, you have to get the merchandise. That's das. That it's not just the abstract, I got this information, it's my thing. What happens as a result? Ava and Yira. In other words, you feel a positive attraction to godliness, and at the same time, awe and fear of godliness. The same emotion. Like, think about it for a second. When I meditate that God is mamalik along, God is present in every aspect of existence. On one hand, what's that going to tell me? How am I going to react? I want to come close to him. He's here. On the other hand, how am I going to react? He's here. With awe and trembling, but he's here. And the same thing in Sankalabi. He's so withdrawn, I feel yearning to reach out to him. He's so withdrawn. It means he's so high. How high is he? That's just awesome. The same emotion, the same intellectual concept can spawn both emotions. And then the Alter Rebbe doesn't explain this, just says it in one line. The other emotions, you just mix them together, and you get everything else. And In other Maimonides, you get further explanation of the other emotions. Quite honestly, there aren't too many of them. You get Tiferes in some places, and in the West of the Ghana, you get Netzach. Other places, you get Hold. Occasionally, somewhere you'll find the Yisod. But a good, real explanation of all the six meters, or even the Malchus and seven, there aren't too many more memorandum which have that the thorough, systematic way. Sim Jacobs, in his Sphere book, Sim tried to do that. I appreciate the valiance of his attempt. I didn't read the books. I can't tell you how good it is. Yeah, he's got, it's a valiant attempt to try to make it real.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've just never done the book, so. Well, it's supposed to be. He's supposed to be been trying to bring down into practical good terms.
Why don't the Maimonides go there?
Basically, because we're about, I think, because we're about to see them. That means mine. Okay. So let's start on the last three words on page Zion. Ubira Inyan. The explanation, the idea is, can you say it to the Nefesh HaMaskeles, the intellect in the soul, which is rational, which is contemplative, to Maskil Kodovro, which is capable of conceptualizing every matter, Nikku B'Shem Chochma, it is called Chochma Koach Ma, the power of Ma. Ma means what is it? In other words, that's, again, the objective dimension of Chochma. What is this? But it's also a ma, it's also an exclamation of what, I don't know what it is. Ma, what is it? Which gives the abstraction of Chochma. What?
Today's Kitas is talking about the ma.
Yeah. When he takes that potential and brings it into actual practice, actual fact, from his phone in the simple, he contemplates in his mind, lahavim dova lashuro, to understand a concept, lashuro means to its breadth, the umko, to its depth. But toke is a dova chok mahamuska besiflo, from out of a particular point of wisdom, which is conceptualized in his mind, nikra bina. It's called bina. In other words, you have to have the germ of the idea in order to get to bina. And then you get breadth and depth. In other words, the whole idea of bina is to give the chokhmah is a point, and bina is dimensions. They're called the father and the mother. In this chokhmah, the father gives the one drop of sperm, this idea, and then bina is the process of gestation, which builds and develops the concept until it takes on form. Hamolidus, which give birth to avas Hashem v'yiras u'pachdo, the love of God, the awe of Him, and the fear of Him. Because the intellect in the contemplative soul, when it meditates and deepens its thought in the greatness of God, how it fills up all the worlds, transcends all the worlds, and everything before Him is of no importance. In other words, for those people who are into the threes, this is Mamale, Sove, and Atzmus. Mamale is the way God is present. Sove is how He's transcendent. Kulikame Chukoshev is like, hey, he is, and nothing else is. Nothing else is. Sove, like I said, He transcends all the world. The worlds have some importance. He just transcends them. While Kulikame Chukoshev is just them. is born and is aroused the attribute of awe. Romus means lifted up, elevated light. Elevated means awe. In other words, there's fear and there's awe. What's the difference between fear and awe?
Fear is more intellectual and awe is like more emotional.
No, awe is you're afraid because of its greatness, but fear is because you're scared of it.
Yeah. I mean, on a very basic level, fear is he's bigger, stronger, he's going to club me over the head. But even when you're not there, I mean, you know, you ever look to see, you ever be in front of a football lineman? Like, I was as a kid, a 17-year-old, I was doing a summer program at Cornell University, and the New York Giants trained there. They played a training camp game there that year. And I remember going to, you know, school was out, but there was still a couple of us left there. And they came in for their brunch. And like I was there with these 300-pound linemen. These were just, you know, there was a certain, that he was going to, you know, was going to hit me, was going to touch me. I was, you know, I'm, you know, but there's a certain, wow, he can crush you in like, you know, like, no, it's like, that's fearful, because, you know, not fearful of you, because you're nothing that you're fearful about, but is a, you know, there's something tangible about that fear.
That big?
Not really. I think a 6'8". He's like a head taller than you, and double your size, and it's all muscle. You know, it's like that. That when people went in front of the Rebbe, they didn't feel that. They felt awe. They didn't feel fear. They felt. What do you feel? You know, like, everybody went to Yechidus. It was something which, like, it was Yechidus. In Yiddish, it's called a Sitter. Sitter means a trembling. Why would you tremble in front of the Rebbe? There's something about being in the presence of a great man where you realize your own humility and you're just like, you know, you want to cringe. So that's fear and awe. So, that's what he says here. As though the nearest your own Mr. Boko, Bakshapto, Lira, to be in awe of this Boshes, to be embarrassed, to be like humble, be God loosely is Barach, from God's greatness. Shein la sof v'tachlis, it has no end and no limit. And then there's also the tachlis Hashem b'libo. There's also the fear of God in your heart. It's very important. Because, you know, it can be very, especially in the Avodah D'Ketnua. We'll get it in chapter 42. It's in 41 and 42.
We're going to get there by next week.
Big plan.
We'll get there. We'll get there. The other Mazaka, he's in his last day. His students ask him, Rebbe, give us a bracha. And they say, may your fear of, he answers them, may your fear of God be like your fear of men. For Rebbe, that's all. That's a tremendous thing. What does a person do when he sins? He looks to see if somebody's around watching him. If your fear of God is constant and cogent, like your fear of another person, you never sin. That's fear. Just his presence. some intangibles.
Not so much emphasizing the punishment that I'm going to get?
No, forget about the punishment you get. Again, I wasn't worried about those linemen hurting me. It was just the awesome people.
But they were still putting that in fear as opposed to all.
Yeah. I mean, I was embarrassed in front of them. You know, from the contrary, like, you know, they were not intellectual giants by any means. They weren't great men of spirit. They were just huge, powerful people. Anyway, should be solid libo baba yaaza kirishpiyes, and directly afterwards his heart will become inflamed with fierce love, like tongues of fire, with yearning, with desire, and a yearning heart. God will say, "So who to connect to the greatness of God." He kalus nefesh, and this is kalus nefesh, the soul expiring. You see, nixvan calls sanapshi, as it's written, my soul is yearning, it's expiring. You saw manapshi lelakim, my soul is thirsting for God. You saw manapshi, my soul is thirsty for you. But simayon mi sod ha'esh manefesh lelakim, the thirst is from the power of fire and the godly soul. Kumash kosav ativim, as the natural scientists have said. And so similarly, it's Chaim says the power of fire is in the person's heart. Love is burning.
I've always had a question on that. What does it mean that the natural scientists
would say? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who they are. They probably start talking about Greek. The Greek stuff. But the power of water and moisture is from the mind. The mind cools you off. And you think about something. Even when you're excited and you're thinking about the very thought which brought you to the emotion, at the moment when you go back to the level of intellect, then you're not burning anymore. Much closer, it's time sharnu and she puts chokmah nika mayim shem nefesh lakis. The other one said before, the shah meters say anfei yira v'avam tov l'sein kosh kosh malachay. The rest of the meters said the branches of fear, of awe and love, and their offspring, as it's explained in another place. Yeah. Thank you all to them for that great explanation. No, but it really is, because I'm so. Your emotions are going out towards something which is love, or withdrawing into yourself in awe, which is fear. And everything else is a mixture of this, your yin yang and going in and going out. But it's not really, meaning that I know I haven't, the explanation is elsewhere where you should look there. Das is the idea man, Adam, knew Eve. He was intimate with her. It's binding oneself, bonding. Shemakasha, daito, the person binds his mind, bekesh, omit, bechosik, ma'o, ditacham, akshof, bechosik, begadus, and so forth, and he implants his knowledge with a very powerful bond, and implants his thought with the greatness of God. Eino masiach daito, he doesn't divert his attention. Yav, mishi, chochem, v'novum, begadus, and so forth, the person doesn't have that inner connection, implanting his thought powerfully and continuously. He will not spawn true love and fear, genuine love and fear, but rather dinyonas, fantasy. Shlomo Chaim was Mashpi in Prachabad. This is like 30 years ago. Chaim used to stress that. He was a genuine Obed. You don't see too many of them around. They talk about davening. They also talk about being realistic and genuine about it. And I don't know exactly who was the first one who did it. But quite often, when people were into their like fantasies of, you know, things, you know, there were wet towels thrown across the base medrash to wake the person into reality. It was a really frequent thing, you know, because like he was stressing avoda, and there were people who were getting into it fantasy-wise. And Sidisha Bakrim, who were honest and real, wanted to wake those other people up into honesty and reality, and boom, a wet towel. Yeah, it was like I remember seeing this. Like, you know, I was just walking to the yeshiva, and like, what are these guys doing here? You know, this is part of the prayer ritual in Lubavitch. You know, it was a little bit strange, but it's a real good thing. You know,
what is an example of like fantasy of yeah.
And can we start throwing people towels?
That's what I'm suggesting. Let's finish the luck and das with you and me. This is let me finish. Then I'll get back to this. And therefore, das is the maintenance of the emotion and what gives their life. Who call a chesed gevura? And das includes within itself chesed gevura. That's when we have four parshas of tefillin to speak about das, as it's already into the das of chesed, das of gevura. Perish avim fevier. Love in its branches and awe in its branches. What do you mean, fantasy emotions? Hey, you don't have to tell. I don't think you have to tell Americans about that one. You know, they know it.
For all fantasy.
No, I'm saying, you know, like on the contrary, real emotions is something I have to explain to Americans. The whole, how should you put it? Fantasy. It's like not being in touch with the reality, but thinking that you are. What?
How do you know someone's thinking that they are? They're going to go throw a towel at us.
What? It is. But the part of it has to do, you know, because the people, again, when people, what's the difference? A checkbook. Bring more a credit card and do it in cash. You do it in cash, that's reality. You have it or you don't have it. A checkbook, well, I got 6 hours to cover the bank. And a credit card, who knows when I'm going to pay. What happens? Your activity is divorced from reality. When you're dealing in abstractions, it's very easy for your abstractions, you know, your chokhmah and your bina to be abstractions and have nothing to do with who you are and what the idea really is. Das is that ability to integrate, make it real for yourself, tune in to what is the idea? What is my connection to it? Not just, hey, let me talk about it.
But if the fantasy leads to action positive, then can you make it?
Look. There is chapter 16, and we'll get there. You know, that's something like that, chapter 16, that's not fantasy. In other words, there's a difference between I know where I should be, but I'm not there. And I got a dream of something. Too frequently, you know, how should you put it? People get married, people get engaged. I know somebody called, who was speaking to me today. You know, and he's engaged. And he just found out that his child was taking antidepressants. Now, forget about the issue with him. Hey, come on. How could you possibly get to a point where you're engaged and not know that? Because you're American. Because you don't know what the whole thing is all about.
But to be fair, though, Australia and South Africa also go from the ghetto.
They're the ones taking.
They're not even American yet. So I'm saying, come on. You know, I remember the first time I met an Australian, I was amazed that they were younger. I mean, Europeans are people who, like, if they've been through it all, you know, 20 times over already. They're old. Your 16-year-old European is old. He's even dead almost. And Americans were, you know, Americans are alive. You see European shame. Americans are alive. But they're young. With all the fantasies of youth. I remember the first time I met an Australian, it was like, wow, they're younger than Americans.
I'm 19.
No, young, like, of inability to, reality hasn't set in yet. Which is good. It's good that, you know, again, but again, you've got to bring it down. Anyway. Sociology 101 has ended.